one thing that's obvious, and most people show up the first day of one of my stop smoking clinics, is there's a lot of fear in a room. There's actually two major fears. One, that most people will acknowledge very easily. They'll know it immediately. They know it before they came in. And then there's a second fear, which is probably more pronounced. It's more real in people, and yet it's one that they're not even acknowledging to themselves. The first fear that, again, everybody seems to realize is they're afraid they're going to fail. And I make this really clear within the first few minutes of my program. I ask for a raise of hands of how many people in a room think that they're going to stop smoking right then and there and never smoke again for the rest of their lives. And very few hands will go up. It's actually pretty funny, because if a hand does go up, it's usually that someone who's quit already and just come in for reinforcement. And that's understandable. You know, they know they don't want to go back, and they're pretty confident about it. Or it's people who are very complacent even before they start. There are people who think, like, oh, they made up their mind, they quit smoking, they're done with it. They're often the first people to drop out of the program. They're often the first people to be smoking. And again, it's because they're not giving credit to the level of dependency that they might have. They are working with the basis, oh, they make up their mind and they're done. They may not be ready for what might happen. And again, I emphasize that word, might happen. Some people come in with that attitude and quit and never look back, never have any symptoms, never have any problems. But some people do have problems and are not ready for it. Then there are those people who are the remainder of the group, which is, again, almost everybody, who just, they don't feel that they can quit. They don't feel that they want to quit. They don't feel that they have to quit. They don't feel that they can quit. And the reason I do that show of hands is I do want people to realize they're not alone. Most people who walk into the group are feeling this way. They don't feel they can quit. I make it very clear to them in the beginning. What they believe in the beginning has no real bearing on how they're going to do or not. Some people coming in who are sure they're going to quit without a problem, again, will be the first ones smoking. And then there's going to be a whole lot of people who came in thinking it was impossible for them to stop, that they didn't want to quit, they didn't have to quit, that they couldn't quit, who will quit and do very well. They will not have a major problem. Or if they do have a major problem, they'll succeed anyway. They will overcome it, and they will get past it, and they will never have to smoke again. Okay, so there's that fear, which most people acknowledge, that they're afraid they're not going to be able to make it. But still, that's not a make or break point. They can make it. They can do it, even though they don't believe they can. But then there's the second fear. The second fear is, again, more real than the first fear, more powerful than the first fear, and probably stops more people from coming to the clinic than the first fear. See, we get a lot of people who sign up for the clinic who don't show up. You see, it sounds like a real good idea to, you know, come to a stop smoking clinic when it's a month away. See, it sounds like a pretty good idea when it's next week. It sounds okay when it's starting tomorrow. But the day it starts, if there's a good commercial on TV on the way out the door, they can talk themselves out of the program. And again, it's not the first fear that's causing that reaction. It is the second fear. And that second fear is that if they actually come to the program, if they show up, they might actually quit smoking. And that one scares the hell out of some people. The thought that they're never going to smoke again for the rest of their lives will scare them. Now, one thing that I point out on the first day of the clinic is we're not there trying to get them off for the rest of their life. We're just trying to help them off day at a time, but really a day at a time for just a couple of week mark. We're trying to help them the duration of the program for 2 weeks. And then I make it very clear to them that at the end of 2 weeks, they will have a choice of whether they go back to smoking or not. And that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to get people to a point where they have a choice. Now, they have to make sure that they keep understanding what their choice is. Their choice is that, well, they could smoke nothing. And their other choice is they could smoke everything exactly the way they did before. They need to understand that there's no in-between choice. It's an all-or-nothing proposition. But we are trying to get them to a point where they have a choice. See, if a person decides to go back to smoking the first or second day of the clinic, the third day of the clinic, they decided nothing. Their addiction called the shot. The addiction was alive and well. These people were in withdrawal, and they wanted to stop the withdrawal, and they relapsed. If a person decides to go back a week later, a month later, 10 years later, whatever it is, well, that's an option that they will have. And I try to make that very clear to them. They will always have that option. But they have to base the decision on the full option. Now, why do people have this fear that they may actually succeed? Well, that fear is based on the fact that they have a whole bunch of false beliefs about cigarettes. That they're doing things for them. They're making life possible. Things that not only are cigarettes not capable of doing, but in many cases, the cigarettes are making the exact situations that they think are being resolved by smoking worse than if they were not smoking at all. The examples that I use very clearly in the first few minutes is they're afraid they can't deal with stress without cigarettes. And we already have a couple of videos explaining that mechanism of how stress makes your urine acidic, it makes you lose nicotine, it puts you in drug withdrawal. When you take a cigarette under stress, you are not doing it because it's calming down your stress. You're doing it because the stress made your urine acidic, it made you lose excrete nicotine, it put you into drug withdrawal, and then you had to smoke to stop the drug withdrawal. In fact, when I give that explanation to people, they think I'm trying to make a fancy explanation. They think I'm trying to double talk them on how they should be able to calm down if they quit smoking. This is not because it's a fancy explanation that I use it. It's because it's what happens. And the way I prove it to them is I say, all right, let's look at a totally different circumstance. Again, look at drinking. What happens if you're drinking when you smoke? And again, they smoke more. If you ask them, you know, why they smoke more, they think it's a social thing. It's not a social thing. Alcohol does what stress does. It makes them lose nicotine at a very accelerated pace. And they have to smoke a lot more when drinking. And when they recognize that, when they recognize all those times they were doing it because they thought they wanted to, but they look, or because of a social situation, but they look at their own behavior of leaving a party or leaving a gathering, standing outside and smoking, it starts to click what's really going on. They were losing nicotine, they had to replenish that nicotine, and it was controlling their behavior. They are afraid they can't deal with stress. They are afraid they can't drink anymore. They are afraid they can't talk on the phone anymore without a cigarette. They're afraid they can't get out of bed anymore. This is where the fear of quitting comes in, because they got smoking so tight in everything they do that when they first think about quitting, they're not thinking they're just giving up cigarettes. They think they're giving up everything they do with cigarettes. And now life becomes scary. Oh, sure, smoking may kill them 5 years down the road. Smoking may kill them 10 years down the road. Maybe 20 years down the road. But my gosh, the day they quit smoking, well, their life is over. That is the fear they're walking around with. It's based on a false premise. Their life isn't over the day they quit smoking. They may have to deal with withdrawal period the day they quit smoking, but that's going to be a short-term process. You know, get through 3 days, it'll ease up that physical aspect. And then it's a matter of teaching themselves how to do everything they ever did with a cigarette without taking a cigarette. Quitting smoking is a learning experience. They won't learn everything in 2 weeks. I make that very clear to them. They'll break the physical withdrawal in a matter of days. They will break their daily routines, their average daily routines. They'll break probably by the end of that clinic, by that 2 week period. But there's things that are going to happen well after 2 weeks that are going to be very powerful triggers. I'm filming this video a week before Thanksgiving. Well, people who quit smoking in my last group, which would have been in September, they're probably doing pretty well right now, generally nothing but cigarettes much on a regular basis. They may be going days without getting thoughts. But next week when Thanksgiving pops around, they haven't learned how to deal with that event yet. They haven't learned how to prepare for Thanksgiving, how to have the actual event, the actual meal, how to deal with family and friends who they may be dealing with, who they only may see once a year, and they're going to trigger the response. And then they don't know how to end the Thanksgiving meal, you know, with everybody leaving without taking a cigarette. But they're going to learn that. They're going to learn that next week. That doesn't mean they have any idea how to deal with Christmas time. It's a holiday, and they may still have people around them, but it may be different people in just different circumstances. Once they get through that, Christmas won't scare them anymore. But that doesn't mean they have a clue on how to deal with New Year's yet. They're going to figure that one out on New Year's. And once they do, they don't have a clue how to watch fireworks yet on the 4th of July. These are things that are going to happen at a sporadic basis. They're not daily events. When they happen, they'll catch them off guard. But what I really always try to point out to people, the first 3 days, everything a person is doing while quitting is new. It's on top of drug withdrawal. And they get through that. If they can get through all those new things without the withdrawal complicating it, they're going to get through all the future events also. If they have their reasons of why they quit smoking reinforced, yes, they're going to get thoughts, but they're going to have the tools in place to override those thoughts, and they're not going to have the physical withdrawal riding them at the same time period, making it more difficult than it may have been. So basically, I try to dissipate that fear by helping them understand, don't worry about long range. Don't worry about Thanksgiving yet. Don't worry about New Year's yet. Don't worry about, you know, any future event yet. The goal is to make it for a day, and then another day, and another day. In the beginning, it should be the focus of what you're doing is just getting through a day, not knowing that tomorrow's going to be better. It might not be. It might be worse. It might be the same. We don't know. But once you get through the 3-day period, it will start to ease up. And then it's just a matter of living your life, doing all the normal things you can as quickly as you can, facing stress, facing happy times, facing just day-to-day routines, and doing it without a cigarette, and proving to yourself, and this is crucial, proving to yourself, everything you did as a smoker, you can do as an ex-smoker. It's a matter of learning how. And every person who's ever smoked has this ability of learning how to do everything they did as a smoker without a cigarette. Once they get that realization in place, again, triggers will occur that will create thoughts, but they're not going to create relapses. Triggers don't create relapses. Taking a puff is what creates a relapse. People shouldn't be afraid of triggers. Those are learning experiences. They get through them. Once you quit smoking, once you get nicotine out of your system, you'll be able to keep that quit going, no matter what other events are happening around you in your life, as long as you remember why you quit, and as long as you remember why you're still committed to never take another puff.